Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and of course in the name of the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in the chat room and those of you who are on the phone in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it is also my, thank you so much. And it is also my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you a pair of brothers. I know I was supposed to have three, but Brother Eric X out of Seattle, Washington, had an emergency, so he'll have to join us later on if he can in the program. But we have two distinguished gentlemen with us tonight, and both of them, far as I know, are very eligible bachelors and may be in the process of preparing themselves for marriage. So I thought they would be perfect candidates for this particular topic. So without further ado, I'm going to let them come front and center and introduce themselves. And we're going to start with you, Brother Malik Wali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes,
yes, sir.
I want to thank you for your invitation, inviting me on your program. It's definitely an honor and a privilege. Whenever we could share the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad with ourselves and with others, it's truly a blessing. So I want to say that I'm a member of the Nation of Islam under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that I am presently within the structure of the mosque in the nation, an assistant student minister under the guidance of student minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad in New York City. I'm a father of four children, all grown and on their own. I have seven grandchildren. I'm a widower. May Allah be pleased with my wife. And I'm on the road back to consummating my word and my vow, giving my word and my vow to someone deserving of traveling this journey for the rest of our lives together as one. Also in striving at the same time, be number one, to become one with Allah and His Christ.
Yes, sir. And thank you once again, Brother Malik, for joining us, and know for surety that the honor is all ours. So thank you again.
Yep.
And, of course, we have Brother Tony Muhammad out of Joliet, Illinois. Brother Tony, front and center, sir. Introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. We thank Him for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and their divine servants, and Jesus in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I am a soldier and follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the past 25 years. I've spent about 20 years of my short life in matrimony, and I've learned much. And by the grace of Allah, back on the path to become one with my second self. And through the guidance and teaching of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as we are taught in the Holy Quran, man doesn't enter into his wisdom until he reaches 40. So I think these 40 years has given me enough wisdom to get it right and exact this time. So I thank you for having me, and I'm honored to share some of what we've been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to help us all find our second selves and evolve toward that oneness.
Yes, sir. And thank you once again also, Brother Tony, for blessing us with your presence tonight. Thank you again so much. Okay, well, it's the end of the year. And as you know, a lot of people go into the beginning of a new year with new year resolutions. It's not something that I personally subscribe to, but it's okay to set goals and make plans for the future, which we all should always do. And one of the things that, you know, as I interact with different people across the nation and just, you know, in general society, one of the goals is to get married or find that second self, as you all put it. And so we want to talk about things that we need to do to prepare ourselves for marriage. And when I talk to people, I surveyed some people unbeknownst to them, asking them about what are they doing to prepare for marriage. What I found very strange to me, but not to them, was that the first thing they said, well, first I got to find somebody. And then they say those who are in courtship or those who are not in the nation who were so-called dating, they were saying, well, I'm waiting for him to ask. And so I was like, okay, but when he asks, are you going to be ready? That's the time I'll get ready. So, you know, I want to kind of share with some of the believers and even the non-believers, people who are, you know, of our Christian family, our Moors, whatever you are, some of the things that we can do to prepare ourselves for marriage. So the first question I want to ask, and listen to the audience, okay, we're going to take questions, but we're going to ask the panelists question first. So those of you who have questions already, go ahead, press one on your dial pad. We will get to you. Those of you who are in the chat room, go ahead and type in your questions like you're doing now, and we'll take your question. But the first question we have is, do we already have to be in a courtship to prepare for marriage, Brother Malik?
Yes, ma'am. No. I'll say that emphatically, no. To prepare ourselves for marriage, the first duty is to Allah, and that's a prerequisite for all our other duties. Life without duty or obligation is a meaningless life, and it's a life of vanity. So life without duty to Allah, first and foremost, is a life that will fail in its duty to self and others. So the first thing that we have to do in order for us before seeking a mate, because the marriage itself will be based on its success totally on our submission to Allah and doing the duty and the work that Allah has ordained for us to do. Without that, then the marriage, no matter how many courtships we have or how many relationships we have, or they will not last. They will fall apart if Allah is not the base. So having a closer relationship with God, a personal relationship with Allah, that's the prerequisite. That's the base of all, not just marriage, but all relationships, is that Allah has to be first in order for us to prepare ourselves for what's going to come down. He has to be the foundation of our relationships.
Beautiful answer, Brother Malik. And can we get your viewpoint on that, Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am, you most certainly can. And I think we should put our seatbelts on because you know it's going to be something kind of controversial.
Yes, sir, we're ready.
Yes, ma'am. This is not aimed at the brother. This is not aimed at the brother. But I've heard that statement quite often from our Christian family. And it seemed as if we as Muslims are adopting that same view. And that view is to have a personal relationship with God. And to answer your question directly, you definitely should be well prepared before you enter into a courtship. So the answer would be no to that question. And many of us strive to obtain a personal relationship with the God in order for us to receive proper guidance and to stay on the straight path. But the scripture and history teaches us that we have been estranged from God. And history also teaches us that at a certain point in history when God sends a prophet, that it's because they have gotten so far away from the God that he has to create a bridge. And that bridge is normally a man. And the judgment, or how the people are judged, is based upon the people's relationship with that man or with that bridge. And this is why the scripture teaches us that he never leaves us comfortless. He always gives us a man, and he judges us based on how we relate to him. And if we have a proper relationship with him, then we can have a proper relationship with Allah. And then we will gain the wisdom, as the minister teaches us, or has taught us in the lecture called The New Educational Paradigm, we will gain the wisdom of life. We will enter into the doorway of life. And then we will be able to mate with the conduit of life, or the laboratory in which Allah creates life, which is the woman. So I believe that first preparation starts with a proper relationship with God's man or God's messenger. And then we can evolve to be prepared to establish a relationship or a proper relationship with a mate.
Yes, sir. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to answer a question in the chat room. Okay, now I have a list of things that I want to go over with the two of you, and I want you to tell me the value of having prepared yourself for these particular aspects. And the first one that I sit down was consideration, because after being single for such a long time, you know, or, you know, never having been in a marital relationship, consideration is one of the things that we have to learn, because sometimes we've been on our own or been away from that type of relationship for so long that we forget how to be considerate of another. And I don't mean just in general, but I mean having to share space and time and having to, you know, be able to compromise in situations. So I want to ask you, Brother Malik and Brother Tony, how important is consideration and preparing yourself to be a considerate person prior to marriage?
Good, Brother Tony. I'll let you go first. Brother.
Okay, yes, sir.
Oh,
okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think consideration, especially for the brothers, on a scale of 1 to 10, it rates 1,000. In the, you have many men who tame different species of life. You have a snake charmer, and he plays the flute in front of the cobra snake, and he's able to tame the cobra snake, and many think it's by the playing of the flute. But actually, the taming comes from the sway of the body, because the cobra is deaf. So the swing when the snake charmer plays the flute is what actually hypnotizes the snake. You have some that tame lions. And he uses a whip and a chair, a four-legged chair. And many don't know the thing that actually controls the lion is the four-legged chair, because the four legs discombobulates the lion. So he or the controller of the different species learns or considers the nature of the species in which he's dealing with. Many of us in the problems that we've had in relationships comes from us not knowing the nature of the woman in which we're dealing with. And this has been my problem in the past. And this not knowing the nature, expecting her to respond in the nature of a man, allows us or causes us to respond in a very dissatisfied manner. But later, from studying the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I've learned to understand the nature in which the woman is created and what the number one goal should be in order to establish or balancing a relationship. And that number one thing is security. And a man should never enter into a relationship unless he has the means by which to make the woman secure. And if he makes her secure, then he puts ease on her mind. He comforts her. He consoles her by that security. And it creates a atmospheric change in our household, as the minister teaches us. The minister teaches us that the climate controller of the home is the man. And I just learned that a couple of years ago. So it is of the utmost importance for us to consider and understand the nature of the species in which we are dealing with, in this particular case, is the woman.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, Brother Malik, what about consideration?
Yes, sir. The consideration is definitely very, very important. Just as my brother Tony said, most of the arguments that raise between the male and the female is because we don't understand the natures of one another, our natures, and how we're made to complement one another. during the time with my marriage with my wife, we endured to the end, but there were a lot of things that happened that necessarily wouldn't have happened if we would have understood that principle. So we put ourselves through a marriage that had longevity, but the things that happened in between getting married until the end, some of them we could have avoided if we would have both considered one another's feelings, if we both would have considered the differences between a man and a woman, how a woman doesn't take in things or understand things the way that a man understands, and vice versa. You know, I was expecting her to understand what I was saying and how I was feeling and how I was doing, and a lot of times it was not even verbal. I felt that because I was with her so long, she's supposed to know. If I'm coming with attitude, you're supposed to know what's wrong with me. I don't supposed to have to tell you after all these years, you know. But then I found out that that's not true. Regardless of how long she was with me, she has to know that my nature, and I have to know hers in order to me to convey that to her so we can have an understanding, so that we could get past the misunderstandings and the arguments that we had that were not even necessary if I would have just opened my mouth, you know. So we have to consider the nature in which we were both created. We have to study the nature of one another so we know, you know. We have to learn how to listen to one another and not just hear one another. That's a big problem in all relationships that I see within the nation, not just marriage, but brotherhood and sisterhood, brother and sister, sister and brother. I'm seeing the emotions come out of us like, you know, I heard Mr. Ishmael say at the believers meeting of a couple of months last month, he said we're like termites. We're constantly snapping and biting and picking at one another because we refuse to sit down and study one another and understand that regardless, even a two men, we're not the same. We have the same nature, but I was brought along a different path than another brother, so I may not understand what he's gone through to get to where he's at. And it's the same thing with your wife. You don't know what path she took or some of the stuff that she went through in her life to make her the way that she is and the way that you are, unless you sit down and talk about it and let them know, this is what I went through. So being considerate is very, very important. It's not my way or the highway. You know, it's both of our ways together. And this is what we have to realize. We're walking a road, traveling a journey together. And we can't travel it together being at odds with one another about every little thing. So we have to come about having an understanding of who we are, who one another is, and give that consideration that you are not like me and I'm not like you. So it's very, very important to be considerate of everyone, your wife, your children, everyone.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. Okay, I'm going to cover two more points, and I'm going to take your questions, so just hold on. Okay, the second item I thought about was oftentimes, again, when you spend a long period of time by yourself, you kind of used to just, you know, having control over the time and, you know, when you do things. And so sometimes when we incorporate someone else into our lives, they may not do things the way we do them, or they may not do them as soon as we would do them. So it brought me to the idea of patience. And so, Brother Tony, you know, how do we prepare ahead of time to learn to be patient with a future mate?
Well, I think the best way to prepare to be patient with your future mate is to mate with someone that has a like mind. Many of us, I don't think that we use the foundational elements of success. I have daughters, and four of them are at the marrying age. And they said, Dad, what should I look for? How do I know the right one? I tell them the first thing you look for when you talk to a brother is you look and listen for God. So very early in the conversation, you should hear God's name. I said, second, you look for someone that has the same life goal that you have. And third, you look for a brother that can take care of you. I said, if you have those three foundational elements, you can make it. So it's the same thing with a brother. If you are a godly brother, you should look for a godly woman. And you should look for a woman that has the same life goal that you have. And that will do away with much of the confusion and the necessity to be patient with different views because you would be of like mind. And the messenger teaches us that agreement brings about peace. And the last thing is what the messenger said is the most important thing for a man to have in a woman is a woman that can give you peace and quiet of mind. Those are the foundational elements, and if we keep those at the forefront, not necessarily the beauty or the physical appearance or the way that they carry themselves or that type of thing, we keep those foundational elements, then we won't have to struggle as much to maintain patience with our mate.
Yes, sir. Okay, good point. Good point. Brother Malik?
Yes. Patience. Okay. The scripture tells us that we were born impatient, that patience is something that must be acquired. It's something that we have to learn beginning from the time when we were toddlers with our parents, demanding our bottle and demanding our food and demanding to be in change that when we felt it was a desire for us to have to be to do such. Patience is something that has to be acquired. The scripture all throughout the Holy Quran constantly talks about seek assistance through patience and prayer. When Allah created himself, as we've been taught, it took him 78 trillion years to perfect what he wanted to come into perfection. And we are from the essence of God. We are made in his image and after his likeness. So we have to acquire patience. The first thing that we have to do, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves, and what brings makes us want to be patient is knowing that the victory is already won, knowing that I'm going to already be successful if I go by these rules and these regulations that's been set in motion for my evolution and for me to evolve into that in which God intends for me to be involved into. Patience is an obligation. It's an obligation that we have to Allah, because nothing that we receive, whether it's a wife or some material thing or something that we desire, we haven't qualified ourselves to deserve any of this. And every little thing that we do get, it all comes from him, and he gives it to us when he's ready to give it to us. So knowing that I'm living a life, knowing that I'm following the road that Allah intended me to follow, knowing that the race is not to the swift nor to the strong, but to those who can endure to the end, helps you to acquire this patience. It's like lifting weights. You don't jump from lifting 50 pounds and then the next day 200. You have to be patient. If you don't, you're going to hurt yourself. So you have to acquire it. Patience is very important in every relationship. We have to go through an evolutionary process with everything. Everything Allah created everything in degrees, everything on a different level of understanding. I can't come into the mosque and I'm a new brother and see Minister Hafiz or Minister Tony or Minister Nuri on the rostrum and then the next day go up there and teach like them. I have to go through a process to acquire it. And when I do that on an evolutionary process, what it does is builds my confidence in myself with each step that I take. And then when I acquire it at the end, then you'll see that the patience, being patient, was well worth it. Because I didn't miss a beat. I didn't skip from 1 to 3 to 9. I went step by step by step, and at every step, every avenue, it's a reward that I receive. So we're taught you set small goals. You have a vision, you have a desire, but you don't go after the desire all at once. You take the tiny steps, and those little steps of appreciation, once you accomplish these steps, brings about a patience that satisfies you in the end.
Yes, sir. Okay. So really on it tonight. And I'm going to take a call from my dear and beloved brother out of Tampa, Florida. Student Minister James Muhammad has joined us on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Brother James. Take your phone off mute.
You know, you're beginning to know me too well. But listen, I just wanted to greet everyone and just enjoy the wisdom that is being shared and the advice that is being shared. And all of what I've heard is right on point. As a brother who has been, by Allah's grace, married for 31 years, of course, to the same woman. And I think the advice, in fact, I'm sure that the advice that I hear being given to those who are listening, if it's followed, then we would be better fitted out to make the journey. We must always remember that it's a lifelong journey, the process of which, the goal of which is to become one with God. Mm-hmm. It's not to die married, you know, to the same mate. I mean, that's a wonderful accomplishment that you die of old age with your wife. And, you know, I mean, in matrimonial relationship, that's wonderful. But that's not the goal of marriage. If marriage, as the Quran teaches us, is the completion of faith or half of our faith, as it is referred to, then what is our faith? This day, Allah says in the Quran, I have completed my favor upon you and chosen for you Islam. Islam is not just submission to the will of God, obedience, of course, that's essential, but Islam is the process by which we become one with the Creator. Can I prove it? Yes, I can prove it. Jesus said, when he was asked, Master, when will we see God? He said, I have been among you all this time, and you have yet to see God. He said, when you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father am one. Well, how did you get to become one with your Father, Jesus? It was my total submission. And I told you, I can of myself do nothing. But whatsoever the Father commandeth, that will I do. What he bid me to speak, that will I speak. Well, submission, as Islam is referred to and oft times defined, is the process by which we become one. We enter into that state of peace as a result of our submission, and by that submission, Allah God secures us, and we enter into a state of peace, but that is not yet the goal. The goal is to become one. Well, then, how do we do that without that essential component that God says completes our faith? We can't do it. So you all are right on point, and I wish that, you know, I'm hoping that there are a number of people, a significant number of brothers and sisters listening to you, and we hope that we will follow your sage, your wise advice, because I think it's right on point. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Aziza, and to all of you. I don't know exactly who's on, but keep up the good work. Thank you for your guidance, your edification, your instruction. Assalamu alaikum.
And thank you, dear brother. I don't know where you think you're going, but okay. You can just go ahead on. Okay, we're going to take a call from a sister who has, I think she's been anticipating this for a while. So, Sister Michelle?
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum
salam. Queen.
How are
and
you?
I know you have some questions. We are blessed by Allah's grace and permission, but I know you have some questions. You told me a few days ago that you had some questions and you were ready.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm so ready. I have so many questions. It's not even funny, but I know it's only a couple-hour show, okay? So, I had to limit it to one, even though I had two very important questions. But, in thinking about – yes, ma'am. So in thinking about how to prepare for marriage, I went researching on the Internet, even though I know that you must study, you know, to prepare yourself for anything. And I found something very interesting, and it actually sparked the second question. It wasn't my original question, right? So what I found was Willie Lynch, The Making of a Slave, and in it it stated, "We have reversed nature by burning and pulling a civilized, excuse my language here, nigger apart and bullwhooping the other to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychologically dependent state to a frozen independent state. Now, in this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reverse roles. For fear of the young man's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. But she has become psychologically independent. She will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You've got the nigger woman out in front and the nigger man behind and scared. So by practicing this, you will be able to keep them a slave for over 300 years. Now, we see that we've been slaves in this mentality for over 400 years. So since the effects of this process is still manifesting in us, the children of the slaves, this process has a direct bearing on how the man and woman interact with one another and also how we interact and raise the children that are produced. So my question is, how do we, knowing what was done to us, come back and even undo the effects and return to our natural state in our preparations for marriage? But since we are still suffering these effects, it will show up in our marriages and have a great impact on the marriages, because it's already having a great impact on our relationships in general. And that was my second question.
Okay, so who wants to take that on, Brother
Yes,
Tony?
Ma'am. I would love to address that question.
Brother Tony.
Ready. And it's exactly what I was thinking before the sister even asked the question.
Yes, sir.
To continue on with what the sister was saying, if you read further, it says this process will continue. And that book is so powerful that I just about memorized it. It says that that process will continue until or unless there's a phenomenon. It will continue unless there's a phenomenon. We will continue to have these type of reverse roles, male and females, until there's a phenomenon.
we will continue to suffer or conduct our households in reverse roles until there's a phenomenon. Now, the question is, what's the phenomenon? To make it plain and simple, it's a new man with a new idea, with a new educational system, and with a new mindset. That man is Minister Farrakhan. And the offspring of that phenomenon are men that are called the FOI. Now, that's not just any brother that come and get his ex. That's the men that attach themselves onto that new man and that new idea and continue to function as that man with that new mind and that new idea. Now, most brothers don't have it in them. And the minister just addressed it in a believers meeting just recently, that he was not happy with the way the men are conducting themselves, especially those, or a lot of those that are in leadership roles. We have become watered down as men. We have become as those practitioners of other religions. We have lost much of our military bearing, and we have lost most of our moral authority. Moral authority is simply living a righteous life, and it gives you a power and strength that is not in most men. So in order for that paradigm shift to take place, we have to continue to conduct or learn to conduct ourselves as the men that we are trained to be. And that's men that are functioning under our general orders. We have to take charge. We have to follow a new direction, and we have to have the mindset to build a new reality. If we don't, that thing will perpetuate forever.
Yes, sir. Okay, does anyone else want to address
questions? Yes, Brother Malik.
Yes, sir.
Okay. As the sister stated by reading, she talked about how the slave master used a woman in order for her, what she did, she reversed the roles in order to protect her male children from what she had seen done to maybe the father by being sometimes placed in between two horses and pulled apart in front of the mother while she was pregnant, and this went into the mother's womb, into the child. If the woman was the instrument that was used to reverse this process and make the man into what he has become, then it's the woman that is the tool that will be used to reverse it back into its natural position. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said that 75% of his work was with the woman. He said that he was Yaqub. His teaching was Yaqub's teaching in reverse. So under the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, if we follow the direction and the footsteps of the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, who the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is styled as a woman. So following his teaching and following his guiding and getting a woman who's under his teachings, who he's working with, and her being steadfast in what she's being taught, steadfast in her seven units, steadfast in not being weak towards a physical proposition from men and thinking on a higher plane, she will bring about a new child. Remember that the lecture, the minister made, how to give birth to a child. We have to go to that lecture and study that lecture. It's the surroundings that she's in. It's keeping her away from negative things and all types of mindsets that will make her develop and give birth to a child that thinks like God, since the process of reversing him came from her anyway. So it's about a change, again, a change that's going to take time, and it's a process that has to take time. That's where, again, where the patients come in. We're born into a world where it's instant everything. Instant oatmeal, instant this, instant that. You know, we can't even remember our mother's phone numbers anymore because they're on the phone, and if we don't look on the phone and see her number, then we won't know what the number is.
So it's a process that has to be taken that we have to be patient with, seek assistance through patience and prayer, and then in the end result is Allah's will not be frustrated. So we're on a process. We look at the things and the situation where we're at the moment, and that's where we keep our minds on. We don't look what is the process? What is the end result of the process? And it all will, or Allah's will is going to come into fruition regardless is with this generation, the one after, the one next. Man will be put back in his proper place, and a woman will be put back in her proper place. But it's a process that we have to undertake and put ourselves under these trials and tribulations in order to develop ourselves to bring man back where he should be and to bring woman to where she should be as a woman.
May I pose a question?
Absolutely.
Now, you know, this is very difficult to swallow. This is very difficult to swallow. It's very difficult for a soldier to swallow that type of disposition. Now, the messenger said that 75% of the work is. The messenger said 75% of the work is with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember hearing him say that 75% of the women got to take the lead. When you deal with, if we look at history, if we look at Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan, who took over the world then? When you talk about Alexander the Great, when he took over the known world, who took over the world then? Prophet Muhammad. You talk about the Aztecs and the Mayans. Who took over the world then? Was it the men or was it the women? Was it the men that took charge and tried to breed their thoughts and their idea and their new reality through the woman? Or was it the woman that took charge? I think we, as after a while, we have to get away from that. I believe, like the messenger teaches us, that 75% of the work is with the woman. And I believe, like Minister Farrakhan teaches us, that some men have to stand up and take charge of our post. And we are taught that our post is the planet Earth, and the Earth belongs to the righteous men. And until we do that, like I said, that Willie Lynch thing is going to perpetuate itself forever. Some brothers have to stand up and say that enough is enough. Some brothers have to say, I'm going to be a renewed Minister Farrakhan. I'm going to be Elijah Muhammad. I'm going to be Prophet Muhammad. I'm going to be Jesus. Men have to stand up and do that. And when men do that, then women will submit and produce them children that will do the same thing.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay,
yes,
Sister
ma'am.
Michelle,
mm-hmm.
Were your questions answered, dear sister?
Well, yes, my question was definitely answered, but if I could ask this, because, you know, being new in this, I've heard this a long time, and then, you know, we talk about preparing for marriage. I have heard a lot out here about the woman in order to prepare, and the main thing she must do is have a career, buy a house, get a car, get a bachelor's, even maybe a master's degree. To be accepted by a man for marriage, you know, that's what they're mainly looking for. And it makes me think, you know, as the brother was talking about the seven units, you know, that to me the seven units are far more important in my role as the woman in that 75% than any job, career outside the home or any man-made degree could ever bring to myself, to my husband, my children, and especially my nation. You know, because I do have letters behind my name. I call them the four S's, you know, student, servant, soldier, and sister. And to me, that's better than a PhD any day. So that was my second question. Is that really how it is? I mean, if that's what a man is looking for, then that's fine. But I refuse to believe that that's what all men are saying, that they want to see more in a woman than those seven units, you know, degree, career, and a house.
Well, you know, sister, I, on behalf of Brother Malik and Brother Tony and any brother, all of the FOI, you know, they are just as unique as the MGT. So I think I can safely say on behalf of the FOI that no, all of the brothers are not looking for that, but I know Brother Malik and Brother Tony can't vouch for all of the brothers, but some brothers may have that as a requirement. But like Brother Tony said earlier, you know, you have to get with like minds, and you have to find someone who has the same life goal as you do. So if a brother is requiring that you have something that you simply don't have to offer, then that's, hey, all praise is due to Allah, because you dodge the bullet, you don't even have to go through the trouble. You can just say, okay, I don't meet your requirement, we can move on. And I'm still your sister and you're still my brother. But if Brother Malik, Brother Tony, you all want to respond, please, go ahead.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I believe that a lot of the problems that we have is because we generalize things. You know, it's just like a person that's in a bad marriage or a woman that has a man that treats her bad, so now she looks for that in all men. The problem here is that when Sard FOI may say something or someone might say something about an FOI or MGT, then we put it under the title FOI, but that's not all FOI. That's not all MGT. That's an individual thing. If that's what someone wants, if that's what they're looking for, and if that's what someone's looking for it's a prerequisite to get married, then this marriage is going to fail from the beginning. You know? So,
yes, right.
So that's not true, sister, on the totality. It may have been true with the individual that said it. It may be a reality for them. But remember, the minister said that's their perception. And their perception is not necessarily the truth to everyone. That's their own personal truth, you know. So we have to remember that. And real quickly, I have to respond. I need to respond with all due humility and humbleness to my brother. When I made my statement, because I wanted to be clear, I didn't make a statement saying that the woman should take the lead. The woman is a tool that Allah is using in order to bring the man back up to where he was, because the woman is what helped bring him down. So this is what I'm talking about when I say that 75% is with the woman, and how a woman, you know, when a woman gets into a situation, I heard the minister say this before. He said he became the man that he became because of Mother Khadija. If it wasn't for Mother Khadija, he said he would have never have been the man that he's turned out to be. She was the wife that Allah chose for him because he knew that was the material she had the mind that he would need in order to make the man that he wanted to make from the minister. Prophet Muhammad, the same thing with his wives. So this is what I'm talking about when I say that a woman, as far as taking a lead and using her gift and her talent and her nature to suddenly motivate the man to get on his post, like you said, and do what a man is supposed to do. This is what I'm talking about when I made that statement. Not that the woman should be the head of the family or the woman is the lead, but she has to encourage the man for him to get out there and do what's necessary. That's why she gives him constellations. That's why she gives him solace, in order to motivate him to go back out here and do the work. And that's why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said 75% of his do his work with the woman, because he had to get her in that frame of mind to do what he wants her to do in order to bring the man back on top of the civilization.
Yes, sir. Okay, listen, we're going to take one more question. Yes, go ahead, Brother James.
Oh, thank you very much. I just wanted to weigh in. You know, both perspectives are right. The woman must take a step forward. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that where there are no decent women, there are no decent men. Now, we need to think about that. It doesn't mean that she's the natural leader, but where there are no decent women, there are no decent men, because the woman, and he was specifying the black woman, is the mother of civilization. Why is 75%, which is a majority, of the work with the woman? Why is the woman held responsible for the fall of Adam. Why is the woman carrying a burden that is described in this way in the scripture? A foolish child is the heaviness of the mother, but a wise child is the gladness of the father. It would seem that throughout scriptural report, as well as some of our understanding or misunderstanding of the teaching, is that the woman seems to be at fault for why the man is in the condition that he is in. Well, both perspectives are right. It's not talking about fault as such. What it's talking about is role. Role. The black woman is our first representation of Allah. We don't know Allah when we're born. We know Mama. And she's our first representation of Allah. In fact, about it, in the process by which we are brought into being, the black man could be there for a few minutes, and oftentimes that's all it is. And then he can walk away and never show up again. Then the mother gives that child its inclination, its natural inclination towards whatever direction that child will take as it emerges from the womb. It underscores not that she is at fault, but it underscores the importance of the woman. But the woman must meet a man. This is what the whole story, I believe, as I understand it, of the virgin birth represents. This is why Jesus, the Messiah, is called Isa ibn Maryam. Joseph is not, or Yusuf is not mentioned. But Isa ibn Maryam al-Masih. Why? Why? Because it is the woman that gives the inclination, the natural inclination of the child to be what and who the child will ultimately become. She nurtures the growing seed in gestation. She's the one. Her thoughts, the way she eats, the way she acts, the way she conducts herself. It's not that the woman is at fault. It's the woman is so powerful. But that woman, this is what gives the man the reprieve for leadership, because that woman has to have met with God. And meeting with God means that there has to be a man first, and then the woman. And then the woman. But that man has to be God. You see? So both perspectives are absolutely right. There's an excellent study guide called the Keys to the Kingdom. I think it's Study Guide 19. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says there and in other teaching that the secret of God, the secret of God is in the woman. The secret of God is in the woman. Now, what secret could that be? I don't know. Has anyone figured it out that's listening?
Well, I'm asking. Study Guide 19 is who's God, brother.
Yeah, but
Keys to the Kingdom, I believe that's in Study Guide 21.
No, no, no. 21 is a new paradigm, a new educational paradigm.
I know I said it. I think it's in there, Keys to the Kingdom. I think it's in 21, but 19 is who is God.
Right, but it's two study guides there, brother. The first part is who is God. The second part is Keys to the Kingdom. It's a two-part study guide.
Mm.
Okay? Check it out.
Yes, sir, I think I'm going to have to check that one out. I've never seen that, brother. I think
I think
I have it right here.
I think Keys to the Kingdom is the second part of, it's in the second part of the origin of blackness.
the second part of Origin of Blackness.
Oh, okay. Not the, what study guide is that?
21.
Yes, 21. It is 21?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, praise be to Allah. Whichever one it is, read it. And I'll go back and read it myself. But the point of fact is, the minister did state that the secret of God is in the woman. And as I said, has any of us figured out what secret that is? Perhaps if we did, we can find out through the woman that's keeping the secret how to become God. I don't know. But what I'm trying to share is that both of you are absolutely right. And the fact that the woman has been carrying all this heavy weight, as she has, from scripture as well as our misunderstanding or understanding, whatever the case may be, of the teachings. The keys are in her. The keys are in her. So, I mean, both perspectives are correct.
Yes,
thank you, Brother James. Okay, I don't want to keep people waiting, but we have some more questions, and we got some in the chat room. So, area code 616. Area code 616, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Area code 616. Waalaikumsalam, sir. I'm sorry, who's calling?
This is Brother Andre from Grand Rapids.
Oh, I'm
going to
say yes, sir.
I just wanted to.
You have a question
or comment? Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to comment on, and first of all, greet everybody on the panel. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. To the Minister Andre from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, yes. And, I'm thoroughly enjoying, you know, what I'm hearing from everybody on the panel, and to let you know that everything that you're talking about tonight is right and exact. It's right on point, you know, and it's definitely needed. It's definitely required because, you know, we are in that time that it is necessary for us to stay together as marriage and struggle in the marriage. Because that's the future of the kingdom is the righteous marriage. So I just wanted to commend everybody that's on the panel for all of your answers and, you know, your commitment to give the necessary ingredients that we need for marriage because it's necessary. So. I just wanted to comment. I'm not gonna weigh in on anything tonight. I'm just gonna be a student and listen tonight, and take in some nourishment. You know, sometimes we have to sit back and nourish too. We can't always be on the front line. Sometimes we have to get back and get our rest and watch everybody else so we can gain some insight too as well for our strategy. So I'm just gonna sit back and listen tonight.
Thank you so much, Brother Andre, for calling in, and thank you for your wonderful compliment and support. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you, dear brother.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, and we have a call out of San Antonio, Texas. Area code 210. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Waalaikumsalam, Brother Carl. How are you?
I'm just calling by last place, man. We're enjoying the show and everybody's on point tonight. And
okay, Brother Carl, you're sounding real muffled, so you're kind of distorted.
I'm going to have it on speaker. Hold on.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. We hear you a lot better now. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me hold on one thing. Let me do one other thing. Is that even better?
Yes, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say about I was reading
topic, and it was talking about gathering singles to discuss what they are doing to prepare themselves for marriage. Do we practice, I'm sorry, do we always have to wait on courtship? And I think that that's one of the main thing that we got to start with the courtship. It's just like building a home. When you're building a home, before you even with the structures, you're dealing with the plans, right? And in the plans, there's a measurement. And you have to measure, you know, the width, the length, the height, all of that. So in the courtship and in a marriage, before you get into a marriage, you're measuring things. You're measuring the weight of God in a man, like the brother said, that the man, he was talking about his daughter, I believe. Is that right, brother?
Yes, sir.
And in that is a measurement. So I was looking at the word measurement, a measure, and, oh, wow, the computer just went black. Brother, I was going, I got the definition right there. But basically, it's a plan. And it's a development and a strategy to build something. And so as it says now, it came back on, a plan, of course, of action taken to achieve a particular purpose. And in any marriage, in any development of courtship, you have a purpose. What is the purpose? To find the evidence whether this is the person, right, that you want to be with. Is this the person that's going to make you feel fulfilled, whether it be spiritually, mentally, physically, and many other things. However, I was looking also at the word prepare or preparing. And we also talked about the word patient. And impatient is to be able to wait with becoming annoyed or anxious, slow to lose one's temper with irritating people or situations. And in marriage, you're always going to come up with times where you're going to get irritated, or you're going to become annoyed, or you're going to have anxiety. And so I think that my question would be to the panelists is that can you get into an argument with your queen or your husband? Do you handle it right away, or do you allow it to build? You know what I mean? To me, I think that you should take care of it right away. But that's my question.
Okay, so you want to know, and let me be clear, you want to know that when you get into an argument with your spouse, should you deal with it at that point or should you wait? That's the question?
Right. I'm saying when you get into an argument with your spouse or your courtship, should you handle it right away, or say, for instance, that she or he is at a point of anger where they don't want to talk right now? So do you allow it to just linger on, or do you try to handle it as soon as possible?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's hear from Brother Tony. Brother Tony.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say that a few years back, I was going through a divorce. And it was a blessing that I was going through a divorce at the same time or immediately after Minister Ishmael went through his divorce.
Mm.
During Minister Ishmael's divorce, he got direct consultation from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I was meeting with Minister Ishmael, and he was giving me the consultation that he was getting from the minister. And one of the most important things I learned was this, that the man has total control over the situation. There's a brother that I came in the ranks with. He's currently the minister in Milwaukee. and he made this public, so I'm not giving out his personal business. He said that his wife talked to him so low, just cussed him out, called him all kind of names, and he just couldn't handle it no more. So he went to the minister and said, "Minister Farrakhan, I want to get a divorce, but this sister talks to me just horribly. What should I do?" And he said, Minister Farrakhan told him, he said, "Brother, did you have any signs that this was taking place or would take place before you married?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, handle it." When I was asking Minister Ishmael about dealing with some of the climactic things that were taking place in my household, he said that the Minister Farrakhan told him, "Brother, the man is the controller of the climate of the household." I said, "Man, that hit me like a ton of bricks." So to answer your question, brother, you have to take total control. You have to manage the sister with care, with tenderness,
right,
and with love. And if you're dealing with a situation and it becomes overly heated, the instruction from Minister Farrakhan is immediately table the disagreement. Wait till the emotions come down, and then you come back to it. He also said if the man controls his emotions, she will keep hers under control.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take a proactive mentality. And let me say this one last thing, please, if I may. There are Minister Farrakhans that have been born. Jesus, Muhammad, men of extreme patience, wisdom, tenderness, and closeness to God. But they have also been Shaka Zulus, Genghis Khans, Kublai Khans, General Pattons, and the brothers they called the Hordes of Muhammad, the
right,
Sons of Thunder were the men of Jesus. There are certain men that are born like that also. So where are we? We have to take strength now, brothers. We cannot be reactive to situations all the time. This is direct instructions from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You have the power, and we have been given the wisdom to deal with whatever situation that we are confronted with. So, yes, sir, we table the disagreement, and we come back and address it with the wisdom that we've been given.
Yes, sir. I'm so glad that I asked that question, because I knew it was something that was going to be said that everyone needed to hear. And if I just may add that when I was married, my wife passed away, and she, and her family said, hey man, do you know who you married?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, nah, man, you don't know, bruh." And these were her brothers and her first cousin. They said, "Man, you married Madea, man. She don't play." They said, "Man, go look in her purse." And I looked in her purse, man, and she had two guns in her purse. I never knew that. And very beautiful woman, and inside in. But the thing was is that she had a lot of anger in her from her past marriages, where men would misuse her. So I remember one day I came home late from work, and my phone wasn't working, my cell phone, so I wasn't able to let her know where I was. So she was angry, thinking I was out messing around, and she began to throw pots out the back sliding, French doors, and over to the yard into the creek, and threw a few plates on the ground. And what I did is I just remained calm, and I talked like this: "Honey, I don't know why you're upset, but whatever it is, I'm sorry." And I kept talking like that, brother, and I went over out of the kitchen and into the formal family room and sat down. She came over screaming where I was, but I kept talking in that tone, and then she finally sat down too. That was psychology. As I got her to sit down, and she started talking softer and more calm, I got up and got me a cool drink. came back to where she was, a stem glass. You could see the water, and you could see the condensation on the glass, and that psychology was to cool down. As I was drinking the cool water, I went, set my glass down. I took some time because if I would have gave it to her right away, she might have threw it on me. I waited. And then I went and got her a glass and handed her a glass. And she began to drink it while I began to talk to her about what happened and while I was at work. And I wanted to reassure her that I'm not those men that misused you in the past. I love you. And I will not do anything ever to hurt you. And if ever I hurt you, let me know immediately. I said, Renee, remember before we got married, I told you, let us, if ever we have an argument, let's settle it before we go to bed, because you don't want to take that into the bedroom. Like the minister said one time about brothers that misuse their wife and hit their wife, then go to bed, and then here's this ice cold hand trying to touch them. Baby, you know, and then you get an elbow. So you don't want to bring that madness up there. So I knew the answer to the question, but I wanted something to come out in your answer so I could come in behind that and say what I wanted to say. So I just want to thank you, brother, for your comment, your answer, and all of the panelists. And, sister, thank you for your time and allowing me to address this beautiful conversation. And may Allah bless y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carl. And I want to give Brother Malik a chance. If you wanted to comment on Brother Carl's question, if you wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, my answer would have been basically the same, because I heard the minister teach on this many times. You know, he even gave us an analogy dealing with Mother Khadija, how when their early marriage, how crazy he was, and how he would come in the house arguing, and how she would hold back. She would wait until he calmed down, and then she would go sit next to him once he calmed down and lay her head on his shoulder and say, "Gene, now did you have to talk to me like that?" You know, did he start to blush and carrying on? But yeah, so it's just, I would have gave the same answer that Bubba gave.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to take another question on the phone, and then we got questions in the chat room. So 813, last four numbers is 7664.
That's the Lakers family.
Well, it's salam.
Well, it's salam, Sister Queen.
How are you? I'm blessed by
Allah's grace
and permission. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is a beautiful show. Oh my goodness, I'm thankful for it. But I don't know. I'm trying to force myself to have a question, but because I don't really know what. I don't really know what to ask because there's so many questions. So I don't know. I'm just looking at overall advice.
But you're 21, right? You're 21 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you in courtship?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So, well, maybe we'll ask you a question and give you some advice. Is there anything that you're doing right now to prepare yourself for marriage, dear queen?
Yes, ma'am.
And what is that?
Well, because I know that I want my husband to be a qualified FOI, I'm trying to qualify myself equally as an MGT. So, you know, I'm in my class, I'm studious, you know, and I'm really trying to, you know, mold, you know, allow Allah to mold me into the helpmeet that I'm supposed to be. So it's just, I guess my question is kind of like, how do you know that you're not overly preparing or like, yeah, something along those lines, I guess. Because, you know, like I said, I'm studying and I know that my head's in the right place, but it's just like, you know, it should it be should it be like, okay, once I get here, once I have this much memorized, once I get to this point, you know? And I know that kind of has something to do with the FOI too and what his purpose is, but it's like, I guess I can go on both sides as an FOI and as an MDT. You know, is there like a, I don't know, some kind of standard or something?
Okay, well, I'll let the FOI answer that question for you, and then, of course, I'll add a little bit on the end. So, Brother Malik, Brother Tony, what's the standard? What's the standard requirement that, let's just make it general, that any brother should seek in an MGT? Because she's only 21, so she's never been married. She's not in courtship, but she's just trying to allow Allah to shape her into the best MGT that she can be. So what do you think is something that all FOI require of an MGT or should require? I'm going to start with you, Brother Malik.
Well, you know, just like we are taught, you have to study yourself as well as study the man. You made a good point as far as being studious. I remember the minister saying that most of the courtships and marriages used to happen during a Friday night study group. That's because you're able to see another person's mind. You get to see how they think. You get to see if they study. You get to see do they come to their classes. You know, and this is the type of person that you want. You know, you don't want that brother or that sister who you might say, oh, they're physically attractive. Oh, he, oh, man, look at him. He is so fine in his uniform, but he don't never come to class.
Right.
You know, you don't never see him doing anything as far as doing the work. Remember, the minister we just taught us on that Tuesday night, and what he was referring to was the man in the mission. That when you have to find a man that knows what the mission is and that is striving to live up to the mission. And if he's in love with the mission and you're in love with the mission, then that's the first love. Then you can hold your man like that. You can hold on to your man. Because if you do it for him, just for him, remember, we're evolving. We're evolving from one stage to the next, so the man that you marry on that day won't be the same man that you have that next year because he's evolving into a different person. But if he is committed to the mission and you're in love with the mission, then you'll be able to make it together through the whole journey, the whole process, because that will be the purpose for you and his life. So that's one of the keys that you would have to look for.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to add, sister, from a father's perspective. I have daughters that are around 21, and this is what I try to instruct them from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have a world, and what Minister Farrakhan did with Sister Ava Muhammad was a sign. It was a sign that the full capacity of the woman, it was time for that to be put to use. So all of our sisters, just like our brothers, have divine gifts within them. They have skills within them. So this time should be used to maximize those gifts that Allah has divinely put in you. Now, I don't know what that gift may be. It may be in the medical field or whatever it may be. But you should take this time to maximize that gift and find out what your divine purpose is by studying as well as establishing a closer relationship with Allah. And by you doing that, then you will be more ready to recognize a man of God when he comes to you. If you are filling your mind with anything else, then it would be, it kind of makes your vision blurry and more difficult to recognize a man of God. So I would say take this time to educate yourself, to study in whatever field Allah has blessed you to be gifted in to maximize yourself spiritually, and this will make your eyes more focused when it comes to recognizing a man of God when he comes to when Allah sends him to you.
Well, I just want to say to you, my little sister Queen, my advice is no matter what happens in your life and no matter who you encounter, you stand on your square as an MGT and you hold to your faith, and Allah will bless you with the light of understanding and guidance in your life, because you are so, so very young. And you have so many capabilities, and if, by Allah's permission, you have so much time. So always, no matter what avenue you take in life, stand on your square. Remember always that you are an MGT, that you are the second self of Allah, and that you are very dear, dear, and precious to Allah. And so any man that receives you has to be one that is deserving. And the first identifying factor of any man that you are even considering question with is being able to identify the God in him. So that's advice from your big sister. So I hope we answered your question. And I love you. Awesome. Love you, Queen.
I love you much. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, listen, we're going to take a question from the chat room. Brother Thomas, Brother Malik, Brother James, I know y'all there. Okay, here we go.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the problem with dating outside, I don't know where they get dating from, dating outside of the mosque? And what I mean is, if there is no one in our mosque, dating through social media. Okay, so Sister KS, I'm just going to say the terminology is dating is something that we don't do. We have courtship, and those are an official process that takes place within the mosque. Because dating is something that you just do free will, you know. You can be dating anyone, but courtship is a process. So I don't know if you know that, but I just wanted to inform you. I don't want you to get in trouble or reprimand us for using the word dating and someone start side-eyeing you. We do not date in the nation of Islam. It's courtship. So Brother Malik, Brother Tony, Sister KS has a question about, she wants to know, if you can't find someone in your mosque, is dating on social media acceptable? Don't everybody speak at once.
Okay, well, I guess I'll jump in. my answer to that, it's twofold. As far as the brothers, I believe that a brother in the mosque should use all means at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do not have or are not members of a mosque with a wide array of choices. Many of the sisters that are in most of our mosque may have been married or are married. So the messenger, it was something that was passed down from one of the ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he said that we must use all means at our disposal, and we must use special tactics. So in today's world, it's not as openly sociable as it was back in the day, back in the earlier days of prior to 75. Most of our interaction these days is over in the cyber world. So I believe that a man should cast his net, and that net is part of it, to me, would be part of the internet. And it's very difficult in this climate, as the minister teaches us, he was saying that it's like one in every thousand is a righteous. So it's very difficult in this climate to find one of those righteous. So I believe that a brother should use all means at his disposal. I don't necessarily believe that that is something that a sister should be encouraged to do. I think that it is the duty and responsibility of the officials in the mosque, or it should be the duty and responsibility of the officials in the mosque, just like it was in the olden days, the responsibility of the father and the uncle and the big brother to find a mate for the daughter. I believe that the officials and the authorities in the mosque should take a more proactive role in finding opportunities for our sisters to find mates, and not necessarily over the social media.
Okay, Brother Tommy, I'm sorry. You confused me greatly. Because did you not say that a man should cast his net, but you did not think that social media was appropriate for the MGP? Is that what you said?
Well, the as far as we are taught in the Holy Quran, a man is permitted to go outside the circle to seek a mate. And as far as I understand, that principle is still in effect. And
wow.
It says the reason why is because a man is more apt to. Big pardon?
Okay,
that's
really?
Yeah, she's just remarking.
Okay, so I don't believe that. I believe that that is still in effect as far as our sisters are concerned. And since that is still in effect from the last time I heard, then I think that the officials should take a more proactive role in creating the opportunities through social gatherings, through the singles retreats and that type of thing. I don't believe that the social media is a place for our women. I don't necessarily believe that.
Now, Brother Tommy,
yeah.
I'm just—you know how we just got through talking about that conversation with Brother Carl about that cool drink of water,
yeah,
and how it calms you down. Okay, I'm finna drink mine right now because you have really put me out there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. He's really put me out there. Okay, Brother James.
Yes, ma'am. I would offer this, that both should be very, very cautious where the social media is concerned. I know that this is the information age, and as such, we make contact. There's a single page or singles or something on the web, on Facebook, where everyone who is single communicates. But we need to be very, very, very careful in our pursuit of a mate. What it speaks of is the lack of meeting our responsibility. Those of us who are in any leadership over a Muslim community of the Nation of Islam, what it speaks to is our lack, either of ability and or unwillingness, to build a thriving society wherein our young people have an atmosphere to socialize, so they resort to the social media. But I would caution both brothers and sisters in using such. There's too much sexual play or praying, rather, that the social media is used to facilitate. You don't know who you're talking to, and while the person may present themselves as an FOI or an NGT, you don't know who they are behind that computer or that web page or that website.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be very, very cautious. And I must say that in the Quran, Allah says the believing men for the believing women. The believing women for the believing men. I don't know where we can go out, I don't know anywhere in the Quran with respect, wherein it states that we can go outside of the believing circle to seek our mate. We're forbidden to marry polytheists, that's clear. We're forbidden to marry idolaters, that is absolutely clear in the Quran. And again, Allah says in the Quran, the believing men for the believing women. Now, in any marriage, I mean, it happens. I don't know the success rate because I haven't done any research. But, I mean, it happens that there are those in the nation or those who are in Islam who marry Christians. I don't know the success or failure rate of it. But the Bible says you must be equally yoked. Equally yoked. You have to believe in the same God, the same mission. Even within a more specific circle such as Islam, Muslim. The nation of Islam has its own way of devotion. Whereas the broader community of Muslims have their way of devotion. The FOI for the NGT and the NGT for the FOI. I think if we stay in those parameters, we'll be safe. But as the minister said, and I've heard him say it on a few occasions, you know, love conquers all. But it's up to us what we should, you know, what we want to do, what we want to burden ourselves with. I mean, if you don't believe in Master Farad, if you don't believe in Master Farad Muhammad, and I do, and you don't believe that, if you don't believe in him, you certainly don't believe in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you certainly don't believe in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and you don't believe in the programs that are being dictated to us under these men's leadership, and I have to participate in these programs, how do you support me in my participation if you don't believe in it? So, I mean, we have to be very, very wise. You know, don't look for, you know, you don't go to the bar to look for righteous women, even though there may be many there. But, you know, you go where more than likely what you're looking for is.
So, I'd just like to interject.
Let me say this right quick, because I've heard this said, and Brother Tony might be coming from this direction. Now, I heard a lot of people say that if a woman marries outside of the mosque, that more than likely she will submit to her husband, and, you know, if he's not in the mosque, then she will more than likely follow him in whatever form of worship that he has. But the brothers have the capability of bringing in women because women submit to God, and that they, you know, they have a tendency to follow their husband. But let me say this as a witness, not as a theorist, not even as a behavioral scientist that I am. I'm telling you as a witness bearer that I have seen it done that way. And not to say anything negative about marrying outside of the nation, my student minister, Robert Muhammad, Southwest Regional Student Minister, him and his wife, Sister Natalie, have been married for 36 years now, and she's not in the mosque. But there's a chemistry there that they have been blessed with. But let me say this to my brother. Oftentimes what I bore witness to is that a sister comes in the mosque for you. I don't care how much she accepts the teachings. I don't care how much processes she goes through. I don't care how many headpieces she wears, how many color dress 19 she has. If she comes in for you to gain favor from her husband or to, you know, to be more acceptable or more appealing to her husband. As soon as the marriage soured, 95% of the time, that sister leaves. She leaves the mom. And Brother Tony, I know you got to come in, but before you come in, I want to hear from Brother Malik on that issue. And then, Brother Tony, we're going to let you clean up this mess you started. So, Brother Brother Malik.
Yes. I agree with Minister James. Basically, most of the things that he said was what was on my mind to say, you know, because there recently, I think it was this year, where this football player was on social media, and he thought he was talking to this girl, and he met her, and they was getting engaged, and then she come to find out it was a man. So I don't believe that social media is good for a man or a woman, especially in the Nation of Islam, to look for a mate. As far as I know, I have sisters who I personally know in Mosque Number 7 who were married to FOI that were in the Nation for years, and that they left the Nation, and these sisters got a divorce. Even though they loved their husbands, they got a divorce. You have to, as Minister said, you have to believe in Masrur Muhammad, the messenger and the minister. That's the foundation of the relationship, period. And if one strays away from that or not with that, then you're going to have a difficult time. There's always exceptions to the rule. Our captain in my mosque, his wife is not an MGT under quote-unquote MGT as far as a member of the Nation of Islam, but she's an MGT because if she wasn't, then our captain wouldn't be able to be the captain that he is and do the work that he does, because she permits him to do that without any, she's with him regardless of what he's doing. She's for her husband, you know, and she believes, you know, she follows the Christian faith. So there's exceptions to the rule. But a lot of times, like I was saying in the previous comment that I made, a lot of times we generalize things. Just because we see something happen, that doesn't mean that it is happening everywhere. Because so you see a situation that's successful, that doesn't mean that it's successful everywhere. That just means that you were privy to be, you know, around or involved in a situation where it worked out. But that's not Allah put things in order to protect us. Yeah, sometimes certain things may happen outside of the way that he's given it to us, you know, but that's just an example to show us that, you know, life is not the same for everyone in certain situations. But the basis of it is that a FOI is for an MGT, and an MGT is for FOI. That's the norm. And if you're looking for somebody outside of that, you're looking for somebody that's going to cause you trouble. You know, you're looking for somebody who's thinking on a level from beneath, because I know most of the brothers that I know in the mosque, in my mosque, that have been outside and married someone who was not a part of the Nation of Islam are literally going through hell right now. I've had some of them even come back to me and tell me, brother, I made the biggest mistake in my life. I'm going through hell. She put me through hell. They don't come out no more. They don't come to the mosque no more. They don't participate anymore. And these were brothers. A couple of them were in the ministry. So these what God does when He puts these things in motion is for protection. Because sometimes you can go outside of the protection and survive. But it's not good. It's not good for any of us to go outside of what we say we believe in, which is the foundation of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and accept something outside of the teachings and hope that it works.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Can I do a
Brother
clean-up
Tony?
Now?
Yes, please. Okay. Pull out your broom.
Yes, ma'am.
And clean this
okay.
up.
Let me clean it up, if I may. Now,
yes, sir, please.
Who I am is totally insignificant. But history is the best reward for all research. We take on Allah's coloring as the Quran says, and surely Allah is the best at coloring. Now, the Quran says specifically, it's not Brother Tony's view, the Quran says specifically that men can marry outside of their faith. Don't say disbelieving sisters. It says outside your faith. Now, I was married to a beautiful Muslim woman for 16 years. And I don't mean physically beautiful. I mean in the manner in which she carried and represented Islam. I would give her A+. Okay? Along that time, there was two brothers in particular in my city that were married to Christian sisters. They admired my marriage and my relationship. And they would always tell me, Brother Tony, I want me a Muslim woman. And I said, Brother, that sister you got right there is already a Muslim. She's a Christian. Didn't even know why. Honored the brother, respected him, raised his children, let the children go to the mosque, everything. Right? I said, Brother, you have a Muslim woman. He had to have him a Muslim sister. He divorced her, and the brother went through the most horrific experience of his life by marrying a so-called Muslim woman in the mosque. Now, I'm not going to go into the personal things that happened to the brother, but no man would want to go through the horror that this brother went through. Brother number two told me the same thing. I said, Brother, you have a Muslim woman. The sister wasn't in the church, but she carried herself like a Muslim. She covered herself. She didn't eat swine. She didn't eat meat. She ate no sugar and never gave her baby any sugar. I said, Brother, you have a Muslim woman. He divorced her, married a Muslim, a so-called Muslim sister, and had a horrific experience. Now, here comes Brother Tony. I get a divorce. I marry a sister in the mosque the second time. I hope you don't know her. I'm not saying anything negative about the sister. I'm not saying anything negative about the sister. But what I'm saying is this. For me, it was the most horrific experience of my life. And I will base it strictly on the fact of our incompatibility. Now, the reason why I married the sister is because her husband was killed viciously. She had six children, and I took on her as a responsibility. But it was a horrific experience, the most horrific experience in my life. So what did I learn? I learned this, exactly what Minister Farrakhan teaches us and what we as Muslims and black people should know better than anybody else. And that is, do not judge by labels. Judge by the content of a person's character. And that's what I learned through this whole experience. So I'm telling any brother that is contemplating getting married, brother, you better forget them labels. You better forget what house she attends, and you better look at her character. And you judge her being a Muslim based off her character. And this coincides with what Minister Farrakhan teaches us, and it coincides with what it teaches us in the Holy Quran. Now, we can do it where we want. You can marry a sister in the mosque if you want. But I choose, as a brother, and from what I've been taught, to judge a person as being a Muslim or a non-Muslim based off their character and their conduct.
Okay, so the sisters can use the same methodology to judge,
yes, ma'am.
Judge a brother by,
yes,
his,
ma'am,
character. Brother Tony, if the brothers, evidently y'all not going to the same class, because I've seen brothers who have with black as coal turn snow white as soon as you talk about hooking up with a lost sound. But look, we got
they
like
say lost sound. I didn't say lost sound.
Well, if it's,
say lost sound.
You
we
know
said,
what
we said, believer.
Wait. That's the label, though. That's the label. You know, amongst the believing family, anyone outside It's considered lost sound. We all lost sound, but you know what I'm saying. Anyone who is not a registered Muslim FOI-MGT is considered a lost sound in our language. So I'm saying that I've seen the FOI get into a frenzy. I know. I'm telling you, I've been witness because I married the second time a brother who was not an FOI, and I love my student minister, Robert Muhammad, but he broke my heart because I went and got my marriage license, and Robert Muhammad said, I am not going to marry you. He would not perform my wedding because I didn't marry an FOI. Now, that could have been his choice or whatever, but it was just a different reaction from all of the brothers when I married outside of the nation. And I understand
did
what
all,
you're saying.
Being did all the minister's daughters marry outside FOI?
I can't keep up with my own marriage. I'm not trying to keep up with theirs. Let me take this question because this person has been holding a long time. Yeah, I've been married twice, and that was nice, and I'm done. But hold on. Okay, area code 469. Your mic is live. Area code 469.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Frank X.
Alaikum salam.
I have a question pertaining to courtship and social media. Let's say I'm an FOI, and let's say I met an MGT sister on Facebook, and I think she's interested, but I haven't actually physically met her or been to her city. Which one is a better way of going about it? Should I wait until I get a chance to actually go to her city, which could be in a different state, and it takes me a long time to actually go? Or would it be better for me to put in courtship requests so that we can get a lawful and proper communication going, that way we can actually start talking, you know, lawfully without just waiting for me to be able to get a chance to go actually and visit her city?
Well, let me tell you this, and I'm going to let the brothers answer your question. Let me say this, brother. Even in business, as a manager, I tell all of the staff that work up under me, follow the protocol, because if you fail within the protocol, then you're not responsible. You follow the rules. You don't get in trouble when you follow the rules. It's when you go outside of the rules is when you get in trouble. So my advice to you is that you can always inquire about the sister through the proper channel, meaning you're at FOI, you know what city she's in, you go through your brother captain, let that brother captain talk to her sister captain, and go through those channels. That's my advice to you, but I'm going to, of course, yield to my panelists and let y'all have it.
Sister Gidget, this brother Malik. Yes, I was going to give my brother the same advice that you gave him. Go to your captain, let him know who the sister is, let him know what city she's in. Your captain will get in touch with the sister captain of her mosque, and then they'll give you all the information that's necessary for you to do what you need to do pertaining to that sister. And it's as simple as that, brother.
Okay.
With the brother 100%. Make sure that you have the resources to care for the sister or to take care of the sister before you make the petition for the sister. That's the only thing I would add. If you don't, I wouldn't proceed.
Good advice. Okay. And Brother James?
Well, in that particular case, I would say, of course, the first person to approach is the father. When these sisters are communicating on social media, then the first thing you want to find out, particularly you young brothers and sisters, is the father, or do the parents know what they're doing, what their activity is? Because in reality, the first person is the father. That's the one you go to, not the captain. it's the Father. You can make your desires known. But before it even gets to the captain investigating your eligibility, the Father has to agree that you're even permitted by his standing to pursue her. So the fathers are very important, and these young brothers and sisters who are on, particularly sisters, that are engaging in this, I don't know if you call it courtship, but, you know, the socializing through the social media, I would be very concerned as to whether or not their parents are aware of their activity, and are they being guided by their parents in their activity. You can rest assured that the bulk of young brothers and sisters who are on Facebook, Muslim and non-Muslim, they're not being guided by their parents, because more often than not, their parents probably don't want them on there. But I doubt very seriously if they are being guided by their parents. And also, I wanted, my dear brother Tony, you know, you sent me to the Quran, dear brother, trying to find support for your position. Now, when I went to the Quran, the second surah, the 221st verse reads, "Do not marry unbelieving women until they believe. A slave woman who believes is better than an unbelieving woman, even though she allures you. Unbelievers beckon you to the fire, but Allah beckons by his grace to the garden of bliss and forgiveness, and he makes his signs clear to mankind that they may receive admonition." Now, the translator gives his understanding, his tafsir, if you will. He says, an exception is made for Muslims, for Muslim men to marry chaste or pious or pious Jewish and Christian women who are referred to as the people of the book. This comes from the understanding that Jews and Christians share similar religious outlooks, a belief in one God. Following the commandments of Allah, a belief in revealed scripture, books, etc. This day, are all things good and pure made lawful to you? Lawful to you in marriage are not only chaste women who are believers, but chaste women among the people of the book, revealed before your time when you give them their due dowers and desire chastity, not lewdness. If anyone rejects faith, fruitless is his work. And in the hereafter, he will be in the ranks of those who have lost. So there is some support for what you're saying, but I would just suggest that we don't use the language outside of faith, because the people of the book are not referred to as people outside of the faith. The permission is given to marry, Muslims to marry, because the faiths are similar, and it specified the similarity that is most important is the belief in one God. So it's not even talking about Christians who are polytheistic, who believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's talking about that expression of Christianity with the underpinning qualification that they believe in one God. Faith is not necessarily a label. I agree with you 100% there, dear brother. It's not a label. But faith, as we understand it, as I understand it, is the underpinning principles of and tenets and pillars of your religion. The first of which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, which means there is no God but the one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. We are not permitted to marry outside of that faith. We're not. But if there is similarity in belief in the one God, then yes, we can. We can marry those of the Jewish faith or Hebrew faith, and we can marry those of the Christian faith, but not the Europeanized Christianity, which our lessons teaches that Jesus never taught. That Christianity is slavery, suffering, and death. We're not talking about that Christianity. But we're talking about the Christianity that Prophet Muhammad and his followers encountered from the Negus in Ethiopia when they fled for sanctuary from the Quraysh. And they came, members of the Quraysh, came to see if the Negus would turn them over to them for persecution. But when they taught, that is, the dispensation and the Negus and his representatives, they recited Surat al-Maryam. And when they did, the Negus said, we are like two rays from the same sun. They believe like we believe. And so on that basis, he would not turn them over. So, yes, there are exceptions. But these exceptions are guarded, and they're under strict guidance. And we've just got to understand what those restrictions and guidance are so that we don't unintentionally mislead. But there is support for your position, dear brother. But I wanted to go to the Quran and see, you know, where there was support for you.
I'll post that scripture on Sister Aziza's page directly from Allah, not the footnote.
All right.
Okay, listen. We almost out of time, we are out of time, but I have to ask this question because I promised the sister that I would. I have to make my word bond, and I'm not going to call her name. Okay, I'm not going to call her name, but my sister from Detroit, Michigan, she wants to know, should it be a common practice that we heal through counseling or Dianetics from a bad relationship before going into another relationship? And what she means is, she says, I went through postmarital counseling from an abusive relationship, and she said that's been 6 years ago. Do I need to revisit that or get Dianetics before pursuing a new relationship? And let me just check and see. Brother Malik, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got you back on the line because you dropped. Okay, so Brother Malik, go ahead. I know you love Dianetics, so here you go.
Yes, sir, I love it. I love it as a tool that the minister gave us, and it's a very helpful tool. And I believe that the sisters should definitely go through the auditing process to get rid of the pain that she has gone through, because that's going to interfere with whatever relationship she has in the future. That's going to come up. Whenever her future husband, whenever he's on a path that looked like it's leaning toward what caused her pain in the beginning, for that other relationship, it's going to re-stimulate those feelings in her, and she's going to constantly come at him in the balance of her husband that did what, or the boyfriend or whoever, what did what they did to her. It's not fair to the person who you're going to get in a relationship with to bring that pain and those things into that marriage and put it on that brother. So she definitely needs to use that tool that the minister gave us, and really all of us should be using it on a consistent basis in order for us to get a clear head and have a clear mind in order for us to really look at our own selves for the first time, because we don't really see ourselves. We don't really see the person who others see in us. We think, you know, sometimes we think that we've made it or we've arrived or I've got the sole answer or my answer is the right answer. And like I said before, that's only your personal perception.
That's
the perception
right.
is not necessarily someone else's reality. It's only your reality. So the sister needs that. That is a wonderful tool to use. The minister said if we would have applied the study guides and supreme wisdom to our lives the way that we should, there would have been no need for Dianetics.
That's
but
right.
since we have fallen short,
right.
since we have fallen short, he said we need to use that. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, yes, sir.
Go ahead,
I would agree with the brother 100%, 1,000%, because that was a direct order from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that before we would enter into another marriage that we would be audited. So it's absolutely necessary. I agree with him 100%. I couldn't say it any better. I just wanted to add that the minister gave us that instruction. I would like to add this, though. The minister said that in order for us to achieve the fulfillment of life and true happiness, we have to fulfill our purpose. And many of the afflictions that we have been afflicted with have caused us to fall off the path of our true destiny and our purpose. And the Dianetics process is a mechanism that is used to allow us to get back on that path.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother James, you ain't going to sit there and be quiet.
Oh, I mean, listen, I couldn't say it any better than Brother Tony and Brother Malik. I'm in 1,000% agreement with what they said. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Dianetics is the process by which we relieve the pain of negative experience, the pain of loss. There's a technique that deals with auditing loss. There's a specific technique for that. Emotional loss or physical loss, but there's a technique for that in Dianetics. See, Dianetics is the key to unleashing the real you. As long as we're not real, which we aren't, as long as we allow irrationality to govern our actions, reactionary thoughts to govern our actions, then we're not real. We're not perceiving anything correctly. Not in the not the environment we are in, not the people who are in our environment. We're not seeing clearly because of the encroachment of past negative experiences and the attendant pain of those experiences that debilitate us and impede our ability to work and to move and to see and to perceive and to make decisions free of the encumbrances of the pain. This is why the minister said when a brother messes over a sister after she gives herself to him, fully, her love, her trust, her deference, her obedience, her fidelity, her allegiance. After a sister does this, then she's burned, if you will, then that second brother catches all kind of hell. Not to mention the third. So this is what the minister said. So before we get into another relationship, we certainly should audit the pain of that relationship out. Not the memory, because the memory is knowledge. It's a source of reference to guide us in our current behavior. But it is not pain that should guide us. It is the knowledge and wisdom that we extract from previous life's experiences that should guide us presently and in the future. Now, we haven't done that because we have all of these demons or engrams that are asserting themselves whenever we want to make a present time decision and their impact on our ability to do so. So, yes, I'm in agreement. No question about it. Get auditing. Okay. Audit that pain now. Thank you, sis.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I love my listening audience. I love y'all, and that's the only reason why I'm doing this. Brother Tony, Brother Malik, and Brother James, whoever so will, I know we're running over time, but Brother Charles has a question, and he wanted me to ask in the chat room. He says that what happens if I can cannot get my finances and credit together? Am I to do without a wife?
Well, you, I didn't hear that. You know, I have to answer that question, sister.
Go ahead, brother.
Huh?
Sister Aziza, you know I have to answer that question, right? Because the brother mentioned credit.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. You are the expert of our nation.
Well, I would like to say, brother, we have a Savior, and he has come to heal all of our ills. So whatever problem we may have, as brothers and sisters, Allah has provided the answer. All we have
That's
to do
right.
is go to the believing body and put our troubles amongst one another, and there's a solution within the body, brother. There's no reason that we should go without our mates. Allah has come to unify us. So there's a solution to whatever problem we may have. So there's no need for that.
Okay,
especially
well,
if it has to do with
brother,
credit, so you can call your brother if you need credit solutions.
Why don't you give him your information? You want me to type it in? You want me to type in your phone number to him?
Yes, ma'am.
Brother,
please.
County?
Thank you, sister. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But you know, like, you know, that was in jest, but a little levity. But Allah has given us a solution to all our problems. We have a Savior.
Okay. All right. He has your number. And
thank you.
Brother Malik, Brother James, any advice to Brother Charles?
Yeah. You know, Allah says in the Quran, and I was looking for it in the Quran. I just didn't have time to get to it. But he says that poverty should not forbid you from marriage. If we're faithful, Allah will enrich us out of our faith, and out of his mercy, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So that should not forbid us from marrying. And the minister said jokingly, in the marriage ceremony, we say, for richer or for poorer. He said, but these are distinctions of different degrees. He said, you have to be richer than something, or poorer than something, which means you have to start from something. It can't be nothing. So, you know, we got to have something. You know?
Yes, sir.
It makes me think of that song. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. I'm telling my age that. You got to have something.
If you want to be with me.
Okay, Preston. Okay, Brother Malik, and then we're going to have to, we got one more question, and then we're going to close it. So Brother Malik?
Yeah, I was basically going to say this, practically the same thing that student minister James said, as far, and I'm looking at it, you know, I'm saying to myself, you know, after being, as you know, married 35 years and my wife passing, but the most beautiful times that I had with my wife was when we first got married. I mean, we didn't have a dime. We didn't have anything at all. And I remember we were staying with my father. And one day he came home from work, and he was tired of us being there. So he told us we had to find a place. So we went downtown Manhattan and found this little raggedy hotel and community bathroom and no kitchen utilities in it, and we moved in that place. But that was the most beautiful time in my life. And I say that because when you start out with nothing
and you accumulate what you desire in life together,
that's right,
the bond between you and that woman, because you've accomplished these things together.
That's
so don't
right.
worry about your credit, brother. Don't worry about what you don't have, because if was that the case, till this day, 35 years ago, I'd have never had a wife till this day.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I don't think they make them like that no more, brother.
I hear you, brother Cody.
Well, I just want to say to you, brother Charles, you know, I know you personally. Brother, you are beautiful, beautiful brother, and you know I love you much. I would never steer you wrong. What you have, and I know what you have, it should be sufficient for any woman, and any woman should be more than happy to come in and build with you. If a woman is not necessarily satisfied with what he can provide, get in there and help him out. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, that's the way I see it. Because I think even in the Bible, I think, where is it at? Where is it at? In Psalms and Proverbs, the virtuous woman goes out and works. You know, so if a man can't provide all the little trinkets he likes, then go to work. It's all right. We sold the food. It's all right. It's fine. And Brother Charles, you're going to get a wife, I promise you. 2014, I'm going to get you married, or we, me and you, going to box one of the two. So that's how that's going to roll. Okay, and one more question from the phone line. I'm way over time. Come on, Sister Michelle. You got a question?
I don't have a question, Sister. I just wanted to say, remember, www.itsnationtimes.webs.com. And you know
hello,
what? Okay, don't nobody know what that's for. You better tell them what it's for.
Okay, very quickly, I am creating educational materials per the instruction of Minister Faircon in a believers meeting either earlier this year or last year. The first book that's ready to go is the student enrollment workbook, and it's available for sale at www.itsnationtime.webs.com. The next book out will be the workbook on the actual facts, because it's important that we get this information in our children's heads as young as possible so that they
can
fulfill what the minister said. We ought to be able to process overnight because the time is coming. Thank
you. All praise is due to Allah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And I want to encourage everyone to support Sister Michelle, because she is creating books for our children. I think the early ages might be like, I know she has bedtime stories, but 5, and I think 5 to 12 or whatever, but all the way from preschool all the way up into high school, or all the way up until the age of 16 when they're eligible for processing and reciting. This is very, very important, because our children, some of our children, go to public schools. Every MGT, every mother cannot afford to homeschool their children. And, of course, you know your public educational institutions are not teaching your children actual facts. But what the beauty of it is that it's teaching the children actual facts, but it's teaching it to them in the span of their growth. So just like they learn their multiplication tables, they'll be able to recite on their 16th birthday. That's one of the most proudest moments of my life. I never forget. I went out and bought my son a brand-new suit. That boy was cleaner than the Board of Health. You hear me? On the 16th birthday, he went in there with Brother Captain Khalil and Student Minister Robert Muhammad. He recited, and my baby walked out an F.O.I. That is the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful days of my life.
Yeah.
Yes, and then only, what, three years later, the youngest one, and then, of course, my daughter. So it's a beautiful experience to see your children recite and grow up in Islam. So please help support my sister.
Yes, because
books,
sister, could I add, if I can
ones.
Get these Yes, ma'am. Can I add? If I can get these workbooks off the ground, I'll be able to go a little bit younger in the story. As Brother Burry said, wouldn't it be nice at night when you put your child to bed to open up a bedtime storybook that says, The Son of Man, the story of Master Farouk Muhammad, or The Divine Warner and Guide in Our Midst, the story of Minister Farrakhan, or Our Savior Has Come. No, that's not the name. Or the story of the Most Honorable Elisha Muhammad.
Go ahead, sister.
Based on the book of Malachi. Now, wouldn't that be nice if that's what our babies went to sleep through?
That would be very nice.
Okay, listen, I'm way out of time, y'all. I'm in my pocket, so I gotta run.
Assalamu alaikum.
We thank you, sis. Wa alaikum salam. We just lost Brother Malik, but I'm gonna call him and personally thank him for such a beautiful broadcast tonight. Brother Tony, thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the controversy. And we're going to have to, and everybody is demanding a part two, so I don't know when that's going to be. I have some other shows lined up, but I promise you, if I can get Brother Tony to commit, I'll call Brother Malik, and I know Brother James will commit. I promise to have them back real soon. So Brother Tony, is word bond, can we get you back sometime soon?
Show us some nice weather we have, isn't it?
Don't make me hurt
you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. Okay, let me give you the lineup right quick. Brother James, tomorrow, 8 p.m., put on the new man, our live study group. Any questions you have about Islam, please don't hesitate to ask through the Minister James. He is more than accommodating. Is there anything outside the time of what must be done that we're going to be discussing?
No, I'm going, as you know, sis, I attempted to discuss that subject last week in some statements I made just kind of took over the subject matter. So I want to focus on the time and what must be done, parts 48 and 49, tomorrow, inshallah. And we certainly invite everyone to give their vantage point, their perception, to add whatever it is, their comments, ask questions. We're just going to have a dialogue on the minister's message, you know, and try to get it out to as many people as possible.
Yes, sir. Okay, so that's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. That's our live study group, put on the new man. On Saturday, my little sister Queen, who was here earlier, Sister Yatira, she is going to talk about, I forgot, but it's a real good show. Oh, yes, The Young Gifted in Black at 8 p.m. My little sister is going to tell you all who are the original Jews. I cannot wait. If you missed it last week, our youth represented. I was so proud of those babies, the knowledge, the wisdom, the depth of the conversation. And then this week, they're going to come back and hit you in the face with who the original Jews are. Our praise is due to Allah. Our nation is secure in the future with our youth. That's all.
That's right.
And that's all that matters to somebody old like me. So all praise is due to Allah. So join us tomorrow. For Young Gifted, Saturday, Young Gifted in Black at 8 o'clock, Sunday, 6:30 p.m., our economic development show with Brother Vernon, No Romances, Our Finance, and Brother Kareem.
Brother Kareem, ma'am.
You sat all night, and you thought I didn't see you. I allowed you to take a vacation, but I saw you and I see Sister Jamie. I see you and Sister Jamie on the phone. Y'all didn't come in. So now, go ahead and laugh, sis. But Brother Kareem, can we get a sneak peek of the topic Monday, 8 o'clock?
Yes, ma'am. Our topic Monday, by the grace of Allah, will be why Dianetics?
Yes.
Why Dianetics? Mm. Okay. All right. That's right. I forgot to write that down. Why Dianetics? Okay. All right. And I just want to introduce this sister Jamie. Sister Jamie, come on, I'll mute. Sister Jamie? Okay, maybe she can't hear me. I know she's there. Okay, so on Tuesday, I'm on the front line with the Food of Islam with Brother Jahar, 8 p.m. Wednesday, DJ Black Seas at 7 p.m., and I'll be back here next week. Y'all don't miss it. Student Minister Demetric Muhammad, Student Minister James Muhammad, just another James, and I don't even know where he's from, but I'll find out for y'all. Then this student minister, our study group leader on Friday, this student minister, James, as well as Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, they're going to join me in the topic of identifying Farrakhan in Scripture. It's something that you do not want to miss. We are going directly from the Holy Quran. We're going directly from the Bible. We're also going to take some excerpts from Brother Demetrius' book, Who Do They Say I Am? It's the Vindication of Minister Farrakhan. If you have not gotten this book from Brother Demetrius, hit him up on Facebook. It's an excellent read, beautiful book, a lot of information, a lot of quotes from a lot of people who recognize who our minister is. So that is what's going to be the topic next Thursday. Thank you all. I love you all. Thank y'all for spending the extra time with us.
Love you too.
Thank you. Thank you. And to my listening audience, we don't take you for granted. So the extra 30 minutes y'all spent with me, I really, really appreciate it. Thank all of you in the chat room. Brother Kareem, I'm going to get with you later. I listen. Kick this one out, but I just want you to know you got a heavy week ahead of you, bruh. So I'm glad you took a rest. Allow us to leave you as we came before you in our nation greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.